Welcome to Faith Renewed, a ministry of Faith Recovery Fellowship right here in Alaska. We believe that knowing Jesus as Lord is the most important decision anyone can make. And our mission is to share the true gospel with everyone. Join us today as Pastor Gus shares today's sermon, bringing a message of hope, restoration, and new life through Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that you would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ personally and experience the freedom and true salvation that's found in Him. You can learn more about our church ministries by visiting us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org. God is good. Jesus saves, and lives are changed when we surrender our lives to Him. Amen. Good morning, everybody. We'll be focusing on our sermon today is going to be about anxiety. And the title of this sermon is going to be Do Not Worry, which you'll see why the title is, because it's straight out of scripture. And so if you would, go ahead and stand with me if you're able. And we're going to be in the book of Luke, and we're going to be in chapter 12, and we're going to be reading 22 to 34. So again, the book of Luke, chapter 12, verses 22 to 34. And he said to his disciples, "For this reason, I say to you, do not worry about your life, as to what you will eat, nor for your body as to what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds. And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life's span? If then you cannot do even a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. But I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you men of little faith? And do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink, and do not keep worrying. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves money belts which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes nor the moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Let's pray. Lord, Father, thank you again just for the ability to be here. Father, we just praise you. We just ask that you would be working in our hearts and just helping us to receive the truths that are in your word. Father, we know that you put all this in scripture for us so that we might be able to take it and apply it to our lives. We just ask that you would help us to see that today and have some inward reflection, Father, as we navigate this message on how this applies to us so that we may be able to take it and be strengthened by your word and that we may be able to use it to strengthen others, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please be seated. So for those of you that do have a handout with you, we will address that at the end of the sermon, but you feel free to write on it for notes today. So anxiety is not a modern invention. It's not something that we've just kind of recently come up with or an emotion that we've recently begun to experience as the days have gone on. Worry is really a heart condition, right? So this is something that Jesus had addressed over 2,000 years ago in scripture, and it's captured here. It's not something that we can look at and say, you know, I never met anybody without anxiety. I can't say for myself that I've never been anxious myself, right? Can anybody here in this room, by show of hands, say I've never had some sort of anxiety in our lives? No. Okay. No hands are up. So in today's world, we really struggle with this sometimes because there's so much going on around us. And so sometimes we get so anxious about what's coming up on our phones, or anxious about our finances, how much money we have in our bank account, whether we have job security, whether we are, you know, going to have continued relationships that we have in our life, whether the car is going to make it, whether we're going to make it to the next paycheck, whether we're going to, you know, maybe we stay up all night and we're worrying about the kids and what their future holds and how we're going to provide for them. So it's very easy for us to kind of have all these circumstances going on in our lives and to just be caught up in what that brings, you know, how we handle that. A lot of times, you know, we could see that flesh out in different things. You know, some people may experience, you know, depression or anxiety or other types of symptoms of having all of this weight on our shoulders, where if we are not rightly aligned with the Lord and we're not putting our mind on Him or we're not focused on Him, then we can begin to carry that weight ourselves and we can just be overwhelmed. And so the purpose for today is really for us to look at this, look at scripture, see where the Lord is telling us to focus on navigating worry, anxiety, and fear. So here in Luke, those that don't know, so Luke was considered a physician. You know, he's been referred to as the physician in Colossians 4:14, you know, by Paul. Luke's also, he wrote Acts. And so that's a quarter of the New Testament between Luke and Acts almost. and he's considered, you know, the only non-Jew or the Gentile author of the New Testament. And because of his education and he's well-versed in the Greek, his book, very specifically the book of Luke, is very well-ordered and very well put together compared to, not like that the others are not, but it's very definitive, very obvious in how he writes that he carried himself, you know, that way. So introducing Luke there, just kind of give us a little bit of perspective to how he writes. He's very orderly. And so we're going to see that, how this is broken out in this particular passage today. But Jesus is speaking to the disciples who they themselves were worried about food, clothing, you know, what's happening tomorrow. So during this time and in the society that they lived in, they are really kind of living in this agrarian society where, you know, farming, agriculture, those type of things was really dependent on a good harvest. So some of these folks that during this time were living at or below the subsistence level, meaning if they didn't grow the food themselves, then they didn't eat. And so all of these things that we kind of experience today, again, food, clothing, finances, how are we going to make it to, you know, the future? They were experiencing those very similar things. And so that's important for us to kind of recognize that the things that we experience today are not isolated to only our day and age. These were things that were present long ago. And so that should actually give us a little bit of hope that there's truths for us contained in scripture that we can apply. So some of these impacts of anxiety, some of you may have experienced this yourselves. Some of you may not have, but anxiety can be really detrimental to our health. Not only is there like the mental health perspective of it, but there's also the physiological side of it, okay? So anxiety can really affect you in some very serious ways. So cardiovascular, right? So high blood pressure, arrhythmias, or increased heart rates, GI problems, so your stomach, right? Just from all the worry and the stress can cause some stomach issues, respiratory problems, right? Those people that are, they may be suffering from a anxiety or panic attack, you know, they have a high rate of respirations and they become kind of like, they kind of hyperventilate. Your muscles, right? Over time, you're carrying all this tension and weight of what's going on. And so it begins to affect your musculoskeletal system in other ways. Other things, shaking. Sometimes we get sweaty. Sometimes we experience dizziness or lightheadedness as a result of all this that's going on. And one of the other things that can lead to some of that is the fact that we may not be sleeping well because we're just carrying all of this anxiety to bed with us. We're not able to fall asleep. And so it resulting in poor sleep, which then can manifest itself in other ways. And then we're also experiencing chronic pain just from constantly being on edge all the time. So Jesus says, do not worry about this. Do not worry. Do not be anxious. He's not telling us don't stop worrying or don't stop being anxious. Okay. He's not just using that. He's saying, do not. It's like a command versus just telling you to stop. So in verse 22, it says, for this reason, I say to you, do not worry about your life. Not stop worrying, just said, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor your body as to what you will put on. So when we see this first word kind of bring up here, that key word worry in verse 22. But I want you to notice, again, if you look at the little paper that I gave you, the three topics that we're going to cover today is worry, anxiety, and fear. And all three of those words are captured throughout verses 22 to 34. So we're going to dissect those. We're going to look at those from a biblical perspective, and we're going to figure out how to navigate that and combat those with biblical truths. Okay. So worry, right? What is worry? What is that? Can we define that for everybody? So this is like the cognitive or like thinking side of it. Okay. This is where we rehearse scenarios in our life. You know, maybe the worst case scenarios. Sometimes we get caught in that mind trap of thinking about what could happen, what might happen, and we just get stuck in there. And so this kind of becomes, you know, we have to call it what it is. This is a sin of thought, like where we are focusing on something. So we need to get a hold of our thoughts and be able to make sure that we are not allowing those thoughts to control us or for us to sin, right? So a worry is kind of like a down payment on a problem that you may never have, okay? Because it may not actually happen. But you're kind of putting this down payment. You're kind of investing into this problem that may never come to fruition. So we have to be very careful that we don't do that. And people at this point, they often try to control the situation because they're so worried about something happening that it leads to more anxiety because they're just focused on the what ifs, what might happen. And then they try and do all these little things to try and control it, and it causes issues, okay? So we see, you know, the sin of control in there, you know, pride, the sin of not controlling our thoughts, right? So we have to be good stewards of that as well. And so on the other side of that, what worry leads to anxiety, okay? And so that's the next perspective here. Anxiety is the emotional side of it, or like the emotions and the physiological side. Some of those symptoms we talked about anxiety produces, this is like this portion of it. So this is our response to worry, okay? This is where we become very persistent in our thoughts and how this really fleshes out with us, okay? This means that we kind of get this generalized idea of dread. So now we've gone from an individual fear about something to just being on this heightened level, this generalized anxiety level of just worrying about a little bit of everything. And it's starting to flesh itself out as we're sweating and the heart racing and all those different things. And so anxiety is really this felt portion, this felt dimension of worry, anxiety, and fear. And this is where we take that worry that we've experienced and we turn it inward on ourselves. We start to internalize this and say, man, if I don't get this figured out, then something else is going to happen. And it's just this really ugly snowball that kind of happens. And so after anxiety, we experience fear, okay? So fear is kind of the root of this. If we just look at this from a biblical perspective, we try and dissect it. We experience worry, anxiety as a result of a fear, okay? And so fear is the root of these. Fear is the response to a perceived threat in our lives, okay? Something that might be happening. Now, this is usually rooted or in a very misplaced kind of assessment of who or what kind of holds the ultimate power over our lives. So we may be placing the authority over our lives into someone or something that where it does not belong, okay? And so then we begin to fear whatever this is. And so fear is really a worship issue where we're afraid about what we value the most. So now it becomes very obvious at the fear stage here, the root of this is what we're elevating, what we're worried about the most. That's where our fear begins. That's where worry and anxiety is rooted, is to what we're worshiping above what should be the Lord. And so it's a worship issue. What we see in the verses here this morning is that Jesus gives us scriptural remedies to anxiety here in these verses 22 through 34. We're going to begin with verses 22 through 28, okay? So if you're taking notes or whatever, this would be the W. This is going to be worry. This is what we're going to be looking through, verses 22 to 28. And so we need to be addressing worry from the perspective that we need to renew our minds by focusing on the providence of God, Okay. And we'll walk through that here just a little bit. Okay. So sovereignty is the overarching control over all things in our lives and over creation, right? The Lord has the sovereign control. Now, the providence is how he accomplishes those things in creation. Okay. So we will kind of dissect this a little bit more, but understand there's the sovereignty of God, and then there's the providence, which is how he fulfills what he's ordained to happen. Okay. Jumping into the scripture here. First off, God's more than your fears. Okay. That's the premise we need to go on this, is that presupposition is that God is more than our fears, right? He's stronger than our fears. And so we're just going to go verse by verse. We're going to talk through it so we understand exactly what Luke has written down and what Jesus was trying to tell us, okay? It says, for this reason, I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor your body as to what you will put on. He's telling him very specifically, don't worry about how you're going to eat. Don't worry about how you're going to dress. All right, that's not for you to worry about. He builds this up, okay? He's going to explain this for us because he's going to be going from the lesser to the greater, all right? We're going to see this very deliberate example that he puts out in front of us as he's building it up. So he says, verse 23, he says, for life is more than food and the body is more than clothing. Again, life is more than just eating and clothes. We shouldn't be spending our time worrying about how we're going to get food, what we're going to wear, right? Because that can create a lot of worry for ourselves. How many people here have had that thought? Like, how am I going to get clothes for the kids for school? How am I going to make sure that I have a suit to go interview for this job? How am I going to make sure that I have warm clothes for the winter? How am I going to make sure that I have enough food to eat? Is there enough food on the table? How am I supporting my elderly, mother or father, and how am I going to support for them when I can barely take care of my own family? I'm trying to be a good steward of my resources, right? So we build these stories up in our minds, like, how are we going to do this? And we start to focus and we begin this whole worry about how, God, right? And so verse 24 says, consider the ravens. And this is where we go from the lesser to the greater. This is where Jesus starts to build this picture for us. It says, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds. So we need to understand that the ravens, they go out, they are scavengers, they eat dead things, they pick up the garbage. Now they are highly intelligent, so nobody's going to say the raven's not intelligent. I think we've all kind of seen that, especially if you spent any time up here in Alaska, but they are just kind of considered on that scavenger level. So again, this lesser comparison that Jesus is bringing forth here, it says they don't store up. They don't have a barn. They don't have a pantry where they store all their food for later. They literally wake up every day and they just go from meal to meal to meal. But yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds. So folks, I just want to bring this up and say, if the Lord is going to make sure that these ravens have food to eat through his providence in the lives over creation, okay, then that means that we are going to be fed too. Okay, we're going to have our needs met. So another definition of providence is that this is God's sovereign and active, this is a key word here in providence, this is his active care over all creation, which he's guiding them, all of creation, towards his divinely predetermined end result. Okay, so how the wind blows, how the raindrops fall, how the birds fly, what they eat, what we eat, what happens, on the way home from here, all of this is part of the providence of the Lord and so of God. And so he's just comparing here and saying that if the raven could do it, if the raven doesn't have to worry about it, he's not concerned, then we shouldn't be concerned either, because you are much more valuable than the ravens are, than the bottom of the barrel. So verse 25, it says, which of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life's span? How many times have we worried endlessly or aimlessly and for something that, again, was a down payment on something that didn't actually happen or wasn't going to happen? So what scripture is telling us is that there's nothing you can do. Worry is not going to benefit you. It is of no good. It's futile. It's not going to help you to accomplish anything. And we need to make sure that we are rightly placing ourselves in view of that. We are recognizing that we, through this worry, can't actually affect any change. We can't add a single hour to life. And he says, if then you cannot do a very little thing, why would you worry about other matters? Again, he's saying, if you can't do this, if you can't change your life through worry, why worry about other things? Because there's no outcome where you're going to change it just by worrying. Worry is really, from the real picture, worry is a faith deficiency, okay? It means that we are deficient in our faith because we're not trusting what the Bible says. And we'll get into that here in just a second, but just be thinking about that. If worry is a faith deficiency, what does that mean to me? All right. So verse 27, it says, consider the lilies. Now again, lesser to greater. We're going from this scavenger bird. Now we're looking at the lilies, okay? The lilies, the plants, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. So they don't make their own clothing. They don't manufacture things for themselves, okay? But I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. Jesus is saying that the lily is so beautiful and it's so immaculate. God created it to be this way and it looks the way that it does and it brings this beauty to the table and it's done nothing to do it for itself. I have provided the water. I've provided the nutrients in the soil. I've provided the sunlight. I've protected it so that it could grow. It hasn't been trampled on. Even Solomon, in all of his strength, in all of his riches, in all of his power, he was not able to clothe himself as beautifully as the lily is. And so the comparison that he's, or the example that he's drawing for us here, is just drawing us closer to the fact that we truly are not in control of these things that we constantly worry about. And if God clothes the grass in verse 28 in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you men of little faith? So think about this. So back in these times, grass would grow out in the fields, okay? So what Jesus is driving across here is that this grass is going to grow up. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be green. It's going to do all those things, and then it's going to wither. And then we're going to pick it. We're going to use it. We're going to cook with it, right? We're going to burn it either for heat, or they would use it to fire their stoves because there's not a lot of trees around in the desert, right? So they would use the grass that grows out there to cook with and to do all those things. So this grass grows just for it to wither and for us to burn it, and it turns to ash. So here we are. If God will do that and he'll burn it, and he'll take care of the grass and make sure that it's healthy, why wouldn't he take care of you? Why are we worrying about that? You men of little faith. And so again, back to this problem where worry is a faith deficiency. We need to be aware of that, that when our faith is weak, that invites worry into our life. We worry because we do not truly believe what we say we believe about God. And so if we look at Hebrews 11, we get to see the example or in scripture, what Hebrews 11 describes, because again, we interpret scripture with scripture, right? We're going to go right to scripture, Hebrews 11, verse 1. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, right? Things that are hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So meaning that we have to truly believe, if you can get past Genesis 1:1 and that the Lord created everything, right? That we believe in creation, then we also need to believe that everything that's in scripture is true. And we're focusing on the hope that is in the truths that's in scripture. And so again, if we don't have faith, then we don't have assurance of the things that we're hoping for. And we don't have conviction about the things that are not seen. So again, the promises that are made to us, eternity, you know, salvation, like the things that we can't see is what he's referring to here. So again, if we don't believe what's in scripture, then we have worry. That we're not believing that what God says he can do, that he can actually do. So how do we combat worry? Well, we're going to combat that by preaching to ourselves. We're going to interrupt these spiraling thoughts with truths, okay? So when we find ourselves circling the drain and we're worrying about all of these things in our life, and we recognize like, hey, this is actually happening, we need to figure out how we can attribute that to God, meaning how can we interrupt that thought with the truths that are in the Bible?
As we close part one, let these words from our Lord settle deeply into your heart. Fear not, little flock. That is not a suggestion. It is a command grounded in promise. Your Father knows what you need. He sees the bills, the uncertainty, the pressures, and the questions about tomorrow. And still he says, do not be anxious. The same God who feeds the ravens and clothes the lilies has given you something far greater than daily bread. He has given you the kingdom through Jesus Christ. If he has secured your eternal inheritance at the cost of his own son, you can trust him with today. So seek his kingdom. Set your heart on things above. Hold this world loosely and Christ tightly. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We encourage you to join us next week with part two from Pastor Gus. We would also like to ask you to partner with us as we reach across the state of Alaska on radio and, Lord willing, TV as well. Everything helps when it comes to making sure more and more people have the chance to hear the gospel of Christ, for there is no other message of salvation on earth. As Christ continues to change lives, we ask you to visit us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org to help us in the way of donations as we aim to ensure that more people have the opportunity to know Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection.